Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at Ethos Training Shy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z, empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today's topic is going to be focused on living the single life, which I think is something that can make people very zen, but also about choosing a career that you are super passionate about. And I figured there would be nobody else that would be better to talk about this topic than one of my, I'd say we become good friends.
Yeah.
But I wanted Paul Farvar to come in studio. And Paul is a lawyer, comedian, podcaster, and what I like to say, a living singles expert. So thank you, Paul,
Thanks for having me today.
And I have to say, Paul and I became close as Paul would do a lot of guest hosting on Patty's show, the Patty Vasquez show. And we were able to do a lot of motivational Monday nights together. And I was on his podcast, the Singles Only podcast, which we're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah, it's, one of my favorite ones.
Single anymore, technically.
That's good.
So,
see, thanks to my website.
Yeah,
thanks to my podcast.
Thanks to your services.
Date coaching.
But I want you, before we get into kind of living the single life, I want you to talk a little bit about your career, because you do wear a lot of hats. And I want you to give us a little insight into your journey and background.
Okay. I'll try the shortest way possible. I was a musician for years, and then I went to law school thinking that I would go into entertainment law. And then my goal was to be a one-hit wonder, like just to do something in the music, make a dent, and then become an entertainment lawyer through my context. That was what I thought was going to happen, or go into politics, which was another passion of mine for years. Then I went to law school. After law school, I worked full time as a lawyer, and I won a case randomly when I was 25 years old. What happened was the partner in the case wanted to go to the Cubs home opener, and we were supposed to lose this case in the Supreme Court, Illinois Supreme Court. And he goes, "You're just going to argue it." I was just out of law school.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, no, there was no pressure because I didn't give it. Can we swear on this?
No swearing. Sorry, Paul.
I didn't give a crud what would happen.
Yeah.
And I went in there and we won this case. Like, we were not supposed to win. We created a new law in the exciting world of insurance coverage defense.
Wow. Way to go, man.
And so with that leverage, I was able to, I was getting hit up by a lot of different law firms to get jobs. And I went to all of them that gave me offers. And I said, which one of you will let me go part-time so I could pursue music in this management of artist management? I started managing bands and I made that a passion.
Shoeshine
Boy Productions.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And two of those firms came back. This is like in 2000, 2001, maybe a little later. I don't remember. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. And so I did that full time. I did a music company full time. And then I did part time law for years. Then I started doing more and more law, and I became a trial specialist because I was winning these trials again, because I think that there was less pressure on me. I wasn't on a partnership track to be a lawyer. So I would just do well at trial. I was good with people. Maybe juries liked me. And I got lucky. And then I decided to go full-time law and start. I became a partner at a law firm in 2008. Then the market crashed. All of our clients went bankrupt, and we were struggling. The firm struggled. And then in 2011, on a whim, I did an open mic. My friend was doing comedy. He was opening for Bob Saget, and I was talking to Bob Saget backstage. Mm-hmm. And Bob Saget thought I was my friend, I think, or one of his friends who did comedy. I did not. I was just backstage because my friend was nervous. And it was also the Cubs home opener, kind of weird. Circle back. And he goes, you should go up and do that joke you just said. I was like, oh, no, I'm just messing around. I don't have a joke. I don't do stand-up. And then Bob Saget tried to get me to go up on his show, which was sold out, to do this.
Oh, my God, that's crazy. Comedy.
I didn't do it, but the next day I went to an open mic. And from there, I started doing comedy. I ended up hosting an open mic in Chicago for years, and then I ended up hosting the Laugh Factory mm-hmm. in Chicago, and then I started doing comedy more and more. And then in 2016, I quit my law firm to focus on comedy. Is that
you've been doing that ever since?
Yeah. I was working part-time as a lawyer since 2016, but then I stopped taking cases this past year. So now it's full-time comedy, podcasting, radio stuff, and trying to pitch some television shows.
But
is
how,
that short enough?
Yes, that was perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
That's me.
How awesome is that, though? Like, really, from the beginning, it was a priority to you to do what you were passionate about, to make your kind of lifestyle and career fit what you wanted.
Yeah. Whenever I had the opportunity to any type of success that I had, I would use that as leverage to like do something that would make me happy. And so with law, everything with music was my first passion. Right. And then I got burned out doing music. I mean, I was playing music and I still love doing it, but I don't play out live anymore. So, that's something that I always try to do. Otherwise, I just go crazy too. Just doing one thing too. I like to do a lot of different things.
Yeah, but see, that's where you and I are very similar. It's like like to wear many different hats and, you know, it's just that entrepreneur and passionate about many different things.
Yeah, when people like, it's really hard. Like people are like, well, what do you do? Like when you have to fill out a job thing or a background, I'm like, well, what do I put? Because I don't even know what I do. Yeah, it's kind of weird. And I think that society kind of tries to put you in this box where you're like, oh, you're a lawyer or you're a comedian or you're a wellness whatever they
right.
say. And it's really hard for, especially now, where people can just do one thing. Mm-hmm. So,
but I mean, I think that gives you so much life experience. And even though maybe the careers don't, you know, connect, they do in some way. I feel like you just learn so much from one that can affect the other, or you can take whatever experience you have to be able to build your business in something else or whatever it may be. I feel like they can all complement each other at one point.
Well, comedy definitely complemented law, right? Because when I started doing stand-up comedy, I became fearless and I was just a much better trial lawyer. And when I was started doing comedy and was doing law, I was doing much better as a public speaker or doing trial work. And being a comedian, I think that the ability to think on your feet quick and adjust comes from being a lawyer and the analytical side. And of course, being a musician helped me because I was comfortable on stage.
Right.
Before I even had jokes, I was able to like try to make a connection with a crowd most of the time. Not last night, but most shows.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay. We have to talk a little bit about last night. What happened?
So the thing about stand-up comedy that people don't understand is if you have a bad show, like it makes you question everything you've done. So I didn't have a good show. It happens all the time. You know, sometimes you just don't have it.
And, so what makes not a good show? Like what?
It's very easy. The crowd isn't laughing. It's like stand-up comedy is one of those things where it's like, you know how you did the minute you get off stage mm-hmm. or the minute you're done with your job. With law, you make an argument, you don't know what's going to happen. You're going to get a ruling either by a judge who you have no control over mm-hmm. Something a jury's going to come back. With comedy, it's like, oh yeah, they didn't like me or you didn't do well. And it happens, you know, as you get more seasons, you learn to accept it and whatnot. But yeah, sometimes you're just like, what happened? And you just start questioning everything.
Well, I can just relate that to competing in jiu-jitsu. I mean, it's, you know,
yeah.
You can have, not every day is a good day. you know? And, I mean, but it's one of those things. I think it's just a lesson that, you know, makes you stronger and kind of
it does,
just
yeah.
pushes you to kind of do better. And sometimes it's not even you. I mean, it maybe you weren't feeling it, maybe whatever it could have been, or it's just the audience. I mean, you don't always connect with certain people.
Right.
That's got to be very hard, you know, to really gauge and connect with your audience all the time.
Yeah. As you get more experience, I've been doing this for 8 years now. It's like you can usually at least I like to think I can adjust mm-hmm. to kind of find what they want. And, but like sometimes you just like, you don't. And it didn't happen. So.
Oh my God. I can't.
But it does affect it's kind of funny. Like it affects everything. And, you know, I just started looking up stuff. I came home last night. I got I got McDonald's, which is already a bad decision. This is McDonald's, a sponsor. And, and then I'm just like, what's going on? You go online. You're like, oh, Mercury's in retrograde.
That's why. God. Stop it, Paul. High five on that one.
I don't even know what it means, but I was trying to find an answer. And when is it
that
over?
Could very so
I start
it's
making
a 3-week
my decisions
cycle.
Again. Really?
Yeah, Mercury retrograde is a real thing. Just saying, people.
So I got to change my life for 3 weeks.
It started
more
like
weeks.
July 7th.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
so
a lot of it could be a communication issues. You know, a lot of like technological issues can happen.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's no bueno. It's not a good
wear
period.
Wear my seatbelts for 2 more weeks.
You shouldn't make like too many big decisions or like sign contracts
really?
In Mercury retrograde. Unless it was something you were talking about like prior and you already knew.
Before July 7th.
Yes. But if it's something new that comes up, I'm telling you. But see, you can just blame it on Mercury retrograde. That's
right.
It.
So I won't write any new jokes until this is over.
Maybe not
perfect.
Any new stuff.
Yeah.
That's you know.
Fine. No, that's fine.
But I mean, that takes so much courage to get up on stage and like, I mean, if you do fail or people don't laugh, I mean, that just takes a lot
yeah, it sucks.
Out of you. You know, it's...
oh, I'm like reliving
sorry,
the
Paul.
Pain again.
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, it's
sorry.
Fine.
But,
it's
but
true.
But, you know, even with that happening... You're going to continue on. I mean, you love comedy. Like, you're still going to move forward.
So, it's funny. Yeah, you would think that would happen. But there
oh,
was
no.
a week about 4 or 5 years ago when I was in Los Angeles doing shows at the world-famous Laugh Factory, the mm-hmm. Hollywood one, which I grew up as a kid watching on TV. You'd see all my favorite comedians. They used to have a show where they would be live from the Laugh Factory. And I was doing really, really bad all like 3 shows in a row. I bombed. Mm-hmm. It's a different world out there. I do better there now because I know how to.
You've
I think
experienced
I could, yeah.
it probably, you know.
Well, it's a different. Yeah. LA is different than
different
Chicago,
vibe.
Than New York. I remember that. The last show, the Saturday was my last show, and I was like, in my head, I'm like, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this thing that I quit my job to do? I was calling my friends. I'm like, this is gonna be my last show, and I was like,
oh
in my
gosh.
Head, I was like, okay, at least I'm going out. I'm going to go out with a bang. I'm going to have my last, I'm going to give it all my all. I'm going to like, I sat before the show and listened to every show. I spent a good 2 hours before a show, which I should probably start doing again. But, in my head, I was like, okay, that's my last show.
This is it.
I got to the pinnacle, which in my head was, I wanted to perform at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. I had done it. I had my name in the, on the awning on Sunset Strip. And I was like, this is it. This is, I'm going to go out. And then I had at that time up until that point, which was the best show I've ever had in my life. And then I was like, oh, no,
I'm
going to keep going.
I'm going to keep going.
There are days, you know, for stand-up comedians, I know a lot of people that you're like, what are we doing? Like sometimes you just, it makes you question everything. It's very personal for me. You know, with music, I've said this before on other podcasts and stuff, but like when you're doing music and you have a bad show, it's like, oh, well they don't like soft rock or whatever you're playing.
Right.
It's a preference.
Yes.
Or, you know, our bassist wasn't good. Or, you know, whatever. We just had a bad show collectively.
Mm-hmm.
But with stand up, it's you.
It's you. It's on
just you.
You.
Especially for my stuff, where I'm talking about myself, like they don't like you. I'm not a one-liner comic who tells stories like, you know, not whatever jokes. So
right. Right.
They just don't like me.
They
so.
Just. I mean, that is hard. You know, and like I said, I can kind of. I mean, I can't imagine Well, I can't imagine being very vulnerable. It's just in different forms that I think we get to use that. Yeah. It's, you know, in jiu-jitsu, I mean, it's basically ultimately up to you. You go out there and, you know, the biggest thing is you want to be able to perform as best as you know you can when you're training with your team or, you know, at open mats and things like that. But then you get out there and it's like, you want to do what you know you're capable of. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, you know, things happen, mistakes happen, and that's on you. So, you know, there's all those ups and downs all the time, even training days. It's like you could just have a really good day or a really bad day, but you have to keep pushing forward. And that can happen a lot, especially when you're training all the time or you're doing comedy all the time. And it's just, I think that just makes you stronger and a better version of yourself. And being vulnerable like that and putting yourself in that position, I just think it teaches you a lot about yourself.
Absolutely. I've had more, I've learned more about myself through stand-up comedy than I had in anything, even when I did therapy for briefly. So it's like, I think it's like, it is therapy in a lot of ways. Comedians say that, but it is true. Like, you're like, okay, if I can survive this, or you're I mean, a lot of the stuff I talk about on stage are stories that like I'm telling crowds about their very personal stuff that I deal with. And so it is kind of fulfilling when it works, you know, when they're good shows. So. But the good thing about like comedy is like for me, I have two shows tonight. So
you're going to get right back up there.
Yeah. If I bomb again, then, you know, like, maybe I should go back to law.
But then you're going to have another good show. And I mean, you obviously, you know, haven't gotten to where you are because you're a horrible comedian.
No. There's a lot of stuff.
I mean, there's got to be people that like you.
Think about stuff. Yeah, we'll see.
You know, because you have been doing this for quite a while now. And I see you. You're on the hustle, man. You're on the grind.
I work hard. That's a thing that I will say. I'm never, when I'm on a show with other comedians, there will never, and I think a lot of comedians that know me will say this, that I will work harder than anybody else there is out there. I might not be as naturally funny as a lot of comics, but I'll work to get there. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my work ethic has gotten me a lot farther in life than talent.
Right. So. Well, and everybody has a different style and different ways to prepare and get ready for things. And, you know, that's great. It's about the hustle and putting your work into these things. But I have to think it's so fulfilling to make people laugh.
It is. It's fun.
Laughter, I think, is some of the best medicine ever.
Having a good show there's nothing better than that. Like having a good show is probably, if you think about the greatest days in your life. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, I don't have kids and I don't. I've never been married or anything like that, or probably ever in love. And so for me, stand-up comedy is like having a good show. You're like, wow, that was like one of the best days of my life. So, or like that's when something amazing happens in comedy that you get an opportunity, you're like, wow, that's, I'll never forget that.
Right.
So those are those days when, you know, my friends are like, oh, you're missing out because you never had your wedding day or your kid. I'm like, yeah, but you never made the whole sold out show at the Vic Theater crack up or whatever.
Right. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, that was.
And an amazing feeling that, a lot of people won't get to experience. But I'm glad you made that comment because I feel
transition
like.
Time. Transition time. Look at that. That's what you call a
thank
layup.
Thank you.
A pass. It's just setting up. It's a set in volleyball is what they call it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. Now I ruined it. I was just trying to, well, it wasn't planned, but I saw your eyes lit up. You're like, now we're going to get to the single stuff.
Yes, speaking of,
I'm a podcaster. I get it.
But I feel like you live kind of a non-traditional life in the sense that, you know, society and like you said, I'm sure friends and people in your life talk about, you know, when are you going to get married or when are you going to have kids? And I like to say chosen, you know, to live a single life.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a podcast that's singles only podcast. So let's talk about that a little bit, that choice.
Delve into that.
And maybe I should actually lead with, we did have an audience question.
Okay.
From Dr. John Duffy.
Dr. John Duffy, my dear friend.
But we have to get these answered.
Sure.
So one is completely off topic, but then we'll segue back in. He does want to know... what hair care products.
I saw
that.
I use Kevin Murphy currently, but I am in talks to get a sponsor. So if you are in the hair product business and you have a clay product that's hard and soft that keeps it hard, we're talking about hair, but also isn't like touch to the touch. Let's talk, because I have good hair. And
Paul has great hair. You guys can't see it. We will take a selfie and post it. But
right now, it's not that good today. But
no, it's looking great, man.
I have, other than Dr. John Duffy, I think in radio, we have the two best heads of hair in the business.
Yeah.
He has great hair, too.
He does have good hair.
But Kevin Murphy is what I use, clay.
Awesome. And question number two is, why do you think that living single or single life is superior?
So I don't put my religion on other people. I just think that people who are single get a bad rap. I think that when I started the podcast and I started comedy, really, I started to realize, you know, I'm an aged single person and people are like, why are you doing this? And I don't think that it's a choice. I think I like to have personal growth, so much so that like I don't want it to be I don't want to sacrifice that for somebody else's own personal growth or their own life. Mm-hmm. And I think when you are in a serious relationship, especially when you're young, I think you sacrifice a lot of yourself.
Absolutely.
And you end up growing in a way that may not be your natural trajectory. For example, if I, you know, I kept a journal when I was 20 years old for like 6 months, and it's the most hilarious thing. If it wasn't my handwriting, I'd be like, who is this idiot? But
that's awesome.
I was like, in my head, I was like, I'm going to go to law school. I have to get good grades so I can go to law school, be a lawyer, move to the suburbs, have two kids and get married, whatever. But like, if I did that, if I was married to whoever I was dating when I was 25 years old, my life would be so different right now. And maybe it would be fulfilling, but like, I have lived so many things that I would never be able to do if I was in a committed relationship with children. I would have to sacrifice so much of myself, which is fine. I heard having kids is an amazing experience.
For sure.
Not for me. It's not something I see happening, but I got to do so many cool things. I got to, you know, play music at a festival with thousands of people. Mm-hmm. I got to have 20 jury trials all at the same time. I got to pursue stand-up comedy. I got to perform on stage with some of my heroes. Mm-hmm. in music, in comedy. Those are all things that I don't believe I would be able to do if I was worried about raising a family and providing. You know, I had that independence and that ability to do all these things that, you know, I remember once I had an opportunity for a show, but I had to get on a plane like in 12 hours. I mean, I can imagine.
You couldn't do that if you had a family.
Even dating.
Realistically.
Yeah, like even dating, I've been in that situation where it's like, I've only started dating someone, but I get an opportunity to, if someone calls me last minute, like, hey, do you want to do a spot at Zany's or Laugh? And I could just be like, yeah, I'll do it. But if I was like, oh, I made dinner plans and I got to cancel these, it's our anniversary or whatever, that would be a cluster. I can't swear. It's so hard for me.
That would be a big no.
It would be a horrible situation. Yeah.
But I think, you know, and I mean, I was married and I went through a divorce.
Right.
Which, you know, I pretty much came to the realization that, you know, I'm like you, where I'm very much, I want to achieve things and I put my career and passions first. And that's what kind of makes me happy and fulfilled. And I just, you know, I wasn't with the right person. We were kind of growing in different directions. But, you know, I felt like I got a lot of slack for that. Like, I dealt with it, but it was like, is this the right choice?
Right.
You know, you're so used to like, well, you need to stay married. Like, this is the tradition. You know, I'm Catholic Italian, and it's like, that's what you should do. But it's like, well, I'm not happy. You know, if you're not happy, you need to make that choice for yourself to live a happy, fulfilling life. And that is justification to be able to, you know, move on. But I feel like people look at being single as, you know, not the, I don't want to say right choice, or they have judgment around it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you're going to make a decision, we've already discovered, do not make it about your relationship during retrograde. We've already
covered that. Yes, absolutely.
That being said, what you said, first of all, your podcast is the one that, I think I said this on off air to you.
Off
that
air, it's,
whenever somebody is in a divorce, or I've encountered someone who's been in a long-term relationship, I use your the one you did with us on Singles Only as an example of like how fulfilling your life can be once you grow out of a relationship that just isn't working. Mm-hmm. And what I say to people that are like, you know, and Dr. John Duffy and I have had this conversation, because he's been in a committed relationship for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. But who you were when you got married, Jen, or who I was when I was 25 years old, it is nothing like I am today. No. And so sometimes the relationship is a time issue, because you're on the same page for 7 years or whatever, but then you discover, hey, I really like jujitsu. This is something that I'm passionate about. That's something, it's very rare that you'll be able to do that, in my opinion, and also have time for all the other things that you've committed to, whether it's children or a house in Naperville or whatever, mm-hmm. mortgage. Those are all things that I think you're not the same person. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago.
Oh, I mean, I feel like we're constantly growing and evolving.
How can you still be in love with that, with me, if you were dating me 5 years ago, let alone 20 years ago? Like, I'm a totally different person than I was when I was in college, when I was in law school, or a musician, mm-hmm. or now a comedian. It's like, who's going to put up with that? It's a crazy, crazy path, and I would never want to be responsible to have drag someone essentially down this road.
Well, and I think it's hard, you know, for people to kind of understand that sometimes, and they're like, well, you know, that may be being selfish, you know, it is being selfish, but self-care, you know, I say this all the time, and I'd written a blog about it. Like, is self-care selfish? Is living, you know, out your passions, is that selfish? It is selfish, because you're doing what's making you happy, but it's not selfish in a negative way.
Yeah, I think
You know, and I feel like that's how people kind of judge that. And sometimes I think it's out of envy or jealousy sometimes, because they're in this life that they thought would make them happy, or this traditional life, cookie cutter
life. I get that.
Life.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I get a lot of people saying, you know, that's a really selfish way to live your life, or they accuse me of being a narcissist. And I'm just like, well, how is that possible? Mm-hmm. If I'm like, you know, I definitely am not a narcissist. I took the test because I got scared. I have way too much empathy, and I have way too many feelings. But yeah, I think that there is a little envy, because people are like, well, you can't do that, because society says you're supposed to procreate, you're supposed to get married, and you're supposed to continue this path that society has created. I don't regret all the stuff that I got to do and grow doing all this. I don't think I would ever be satiated as a full-time lawyer, you know, with all the money that I don't have anymore. I just wasn't happy when I had that. I was kind of like, I was like, oh, this is cool. But I would look forward to is getting drunk with my friends, or doing drugs, or something that was artificial.
Yeah.
And I look at my friends who are in marriages for 15, 20 years, and a lot of them are happy, but a lot of them are not. A lot of them are like, Paul, don't get married unless you want to have kids. And I having kids isn't on my wasn't something that I wanted to have anymore. So I don't know.
I kind of and I don't want. I just want to like preface this with saying, like, you know, we're not bashing marriage.
We have a lot of callers coming in right now. Jen, you
Jen,
have a call.
What is this? This is not getting Zen.
Maria is calling us from Schaumburg. Maria has 7 kids, and she's saying how idiotic Paul Farver is. No.
You know, it's to each their own, basically, I think is what it is. It's like, if you have that desire and goal to want to, you know, have a full-time career and have, you know, get married and have three kids and that's your life and that's what makes you happy,
yeah,
go for it. That's amazing. But it's just for those who may not, you know, who are, have, you know, want to have a successful career and focus on that and have different goals. And that doesn't have to rely on a relationship specifically.
Yeah.
That's amazing as well. You know, you could be just as happy like that. And, you know, I always thought I wanted to have kids. I thought I had to be a mom. And I am very, you know, nurturing and
mom-like.
I'm mom-like, especially to my girls that I teach in my jujitsu class. And I have, and my clients, I feel like I'm fulfilled in that way of taking care of a lot of other people. But like now I'm at the point where, you know, I just became an aunt and I love that. I think it's the best thing ever.
Being an aunt or uncle is it
amazing.
It changed my life in the sense that like I don't have to worry about offspring and the future of the farmer thing. And I could also leave when I want. And I love that.
Yeah.
But I love hanging out with them. I look forward to seeing them. I miss them when I don't see them for a few months. But I also am like, cool. Like, this isn't my responsibility after 9 p.m.
Well, I said to my sister, I'm like, well, thank you for giving our parents grandchildren because I'm
right.
not going to.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think it's something that I have the desire that I need to do. And I, you know, you never say never, but even now, and, you know, I am in a relationship now and it's going great. And, you know, I spent 3.5 years, like basically after my marriage, I wasn't really dating, you know, we had this topic on the conversation
podcast,
on the podcast, that I was not all about the dating apps and all that stuff, but I was really wanting to focus on myself. And I was so fulfilled with everything that I was doing that it was like, I'm not going to settle for just anyone. I don't need to have someone in my life. Sure, it would be great to have a partner who would support me, but they have to be the icing on the cake. And that's what I've, you know, found, which is pretty awesome. That was unexpected. And I would get married again, you know, if I felt in my gut that was the right thing to do. But I really think it has to be, you know, he fully understands what I'm doing, what my mission yeah. is, and is my number one fan. So I think that's important to kind
supportive.
Of lay down the,
sure.
you know, lay down the law of like, listen.
Well, you're in a
this
different,
this is what I want to do.
You're in a way different position than you were when you first got married too, right? So,
yes.
So that's another thing I say that on our podcast, is that marriage is an outdated institution because, when marriage was created, like the lifespan, was people were dying by the time they're 30. The average people were like 30, 35, and they
right.
live a life. And like, till death do you part. It's like, oh, cool. It's only for a few years here.
It's only a few years. It's
but
fine.
Like now, if people are getting married in their 20s and they live in a big city, I think it's like rare that it'll survive. If you live in a small town, it's like, okay, there's not a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get married.
Right.
It creates joy for you. But no, we just pissed off Arkansas. But like, if you're getting married when you're in your late 30s or 40s or something like that, it's going to work because like you've already grown as much
yes.
as you're probably going to grow for the most part.
Totally.
And if you do grow into a different, you're not going to all of a sudden start becoming a professional baseball player when you're 45. So
I think you get a better sense of who you are. You're able
Absolutely.
To focus on yourself. There's no
100%.
Rush to have to get married right away. And I think people put, you know, get those expectations and pressure from family, friends. But it's like, live your life, take your time, enjoy. And then, yeah, get married in your 30s, you know, 40s.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, the lifespan. I mean, my great aunt just passed away last month and she lived to be 100. I mean, she was 100 and a half.
Yeah,
like,
wow.
You know, people, I mean, my other great aunt's 96. Like, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get married a little bit later and you're 100% sure in what you want. And
she got married when she was 90?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Although those retirement yeah. homes are wacky. There's all kinds of sexual transmitted diseases.
I know.
They're just
that's crazy.
Boning each other.
I mean,
you can say boning, right? That's not
yeah,
sex.
Yeah, that's fine. It's yeah. not a swear. You can talk about sex. But
yeah. No, I got you. I think that's true. I think that you can find, you know, if I found someone now, which is probably not going to happen. I mean, I've had relationships that last about 3 months. But a lot of the people I've dated are still in my life, and I made a connection with them. It's something that I think is fulfilling, that to the extent where it's like, okay, I still ask them for advice on stuff. I'm like, all right, find out. They call me when they have questions about stuff. I'm pretty good at that stuff. But yeah, I do think that, I'm not ruling out that I'm not going to ever be in a committed marriage or something like that, but it's definitely not on my radar.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, do you go out and date? Are you actively dating?
That's a good question. I go in spurts. I don't go out very often because I have shows most nights, and I don't drink that often anymore. So it's hard to like meet people.
I love that though. I know we had talked about that you kind of, you weren't like being as social or drinking as much and really trying to just focus on, you know, like.
I just started drinking again, I was like, wow, this is fun. But no, I used to drink like 3 times a week, but not just like an adult drinker. I would drink till I was like hammered.
Right.
And it was just unhealthy. But now like I'll drink like, I don't know, like once a month maybe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I go on the apps and I'll talk to people, but I lay this all out. I'm like, look, I'm not looking for a long-term relationship. I'm not looking to get laid either. Mm-hmm. It's like somewhere, there's some place in between there. But I usually like don't put up with something if there's drama or something like that, like right away.
Right.
I'm just like, this is a red flag. There's so many red flags now. So I don't go out of my way because I'm pretty busy, but I do like to go on dates. The problem is like when I can do that, which is like, they're like, hey, do you want to eat? I'm like, I have to eat at 5 usually.
Because you have a show.
10:30. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to find people with the scheduling stuff, but yeah, I'll go out, but, I think I'd like people to be on like just to have something on like a casual basis, but not like
to spend time and hang out with people and get to know people. But it doesn't have to be something that's rushed or means like
I was talking to someone recently where we made a connection, but like we knew it just wasn't going to work. I'm like, cool, we're just going to be friends, and I'm totally cool with that,
and that's great,
and that was awesome. Like it took the pressure off of like, whatever, meeting up and like having to be on.
Right.
So,
I mean, I think relationships are some of the most important things in life. So however you get that, I mean, you know,
I'm all for having relationships with people, and like that helps you grow. You learn from other people
for sure
more than you do. In fact, that's another reason why not to get married, because you learn from a bunch of people instead of, if I was in a committed relationship, there were so many women in my life I wouldn't meet because it would be disrespectful to like go to dinner with these, even if I wasn't, you know,
even doing anything, if you're just physically friends, platonic. Yeah.
Yeah. But it still is there's still a level of trust or a concern that will pop up.
Yeah. What do you think the response is with some of the women that you talk to about just your honesty about where you're at? Like, what are some of the responses you've gotten?
I get everything from like, a lot of people think that I'm just joking. Like, they're like, oh, he'll change.
Oh, that's got to be a big one.
That happens a lot.
Change that.
I think now more the podcast is like block that from
like,
happening.
No.
Especially
this is
with
how it is.
The co-hosts I have, like Patty Vasquez and Jeannie Dugan, have totally blocked me they reveal a lot of this, which is fine too. I joke, but it's like, yeah. Some people are on board with it. You'd be surprised that a lot of people who have been married or are starting to think that, like, they're like, yeah, I think you get it. I did get, there were some people who are polyamorous too, which I don't think is the right answer either. But
yeah.
It sounds good on paper, but so does socialism. But I think that
I feel like that can be a little dramatic.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I think that that's like two. There's different types. We've talked about it in the podcast with polyamorous people. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what I do, but I don't really like. I don't have it structured like the book that they have on it. Like you have a primary and stuff like that.
Oh boy, that could be a whole other episode here.
Yeah, that's a. You should get a polyamorous person. They'll tell you about it. It's a pretty. It's like a cult. I started one called regional contractual monogamy. It's called RCM. It's going to be a cult that I created, which is you go, because especially if you travel, you travel for stuff. You're like, when you're in Miami, Florida for your jujitsu shows, Bob is your boyfriend.
Okay.
Only when you're in town.
Unless when I'm in town.
Bob is in a relationship or you're in a relationship. But if you're both single, that's you're monogamous with that person.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a thing. We're going to start it. I got a website growing. It's going to be a thing. That's going to be your next website.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a new thing instead of
that could be a
Tinder.
Whole new dating
possibility. I think people do it already. Like, I think baseball players do it. But I'm making
technology behind it.
Yeah, I think it's
making
like
it a little more organized.
It's a more like developed thing. Yeah. I think it's a wave of the future.
I mean, we might have to check back in like a year from now and have, you know, a podcast episode talking about
Paul's
this.
Paul's in jail. apparently that monogamy thing didn't work because the woman was married. No.
But I mean, I think like the bottom line is people really not looking to get married or be in a relationship to kind of fulfill themselves. Like, I think you really need to be able to love yourself first before loving or committing to somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know about the love thing, but I think it's respect. Yeah, like respect yourself. I would say, I would think that you know yourself more than you could, because whatever you're projecting out to other people that's making them attracted to you, you have to accept that and know your own reality. I think that's a big part. And to be honest with you, I don't think I knew that about myself in my 20s. I don't think who I was. No. I think I still struggle with that, especially like, you know, when, you know, you have a crappy show, you're like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? And I have self-doubt all the time. You know, I'm like, why did I leave a really good job to get $20 at a show and beer tickets that I'm not going to use? But
it's because it's obviously something you love doing.
There's a story about a comedian, I think it's Bill Burr, who he got an opportunity to do a show downtown, and he was in a relationship with a woman, and he went and did a show in the city in New York. He came back and he had a great show. He's like, he finally got a joke to work and everything like that. And he was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing in the world. And the woman he was dating was just like started crying. She's like, why? She goes, I can't believe, or she asked him, I don't know if I'm ruining the story, but she's basically said, how much did you make? He's like, $7. And she started crying. He's like, why are you crying? He goes, you are so excited about something that's so natural and only made $7 and you drove an hour. She's like, I'll never have that with whatever career she was. And that's something that you're like, wow.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And that makes you think about anything you pursue.
Right. It's not all about, I mean, I think so many people define success as financial and money, but they're miserable day in, day out at what they're doing. And there's something to be said for that. Like, you actually enjoy and you feel so fulfilled and that you're making a difference, you know, doing what you're doing and you're passionate about it, but you're not making as much. I mean, it's not all about that, but you're happy.
Right. And the same thing holds true with relationships. You know, like I've seen a lot of comedians who get married and have kids and then they stop doing comedy. And it's like, well, are you happier now? And maybe they are. Maybe that's fulfilling to them, but it's really hard to do both. It's hard to do something artistic and creative when you're so selfless in fulfilling your personal life with your family. So can't have it both, or can you? Who knows?
I think you can. I really think I'm going to be positive and think you can. I think it just has to be the right person.
Or you're already successful with one and then move on to the next.
Yeah, there you go. That too. I think you can have it all if that's what you want. But not during retrograde. And I think you need to just be clear on what you want.
Yeah. But
go for it.
But who knows what they want? Sometimes you don't know.
But I think you need to follow your gut. Like, sometimes I think we just rationalize things in our mind all the time. And it's like, we should do this or we shouldn't do that. But it's like, what do you truly feel like you want to do? I think it's important to follow.
For me, what I tell people, what I think, is it's easier to say what you don't want. And then from there, what's left on the table mm-hmm. after you were like, well, I don't want this in a personal life and I don't want this in a career. And then something develops.
I love that.
And it's kind of weird. The thing that I hated most about any job I ever had mm-hmm. was waking up early. That was the one thing that was always a deal breaker. Uh-huh. I had a job offer, was making a lot of money, but they had these mandatory meetings at 8:30 on Wednesdays every week at a law firm, big law firm. And I remember the interview, I kept asking, I'm like, well, how mandatory? Like, and the guy was like, why are you so?
Why do you keep asking about this?
Because in my head, I was like, that's the one thing that brings me sadness, yeah. is waking up. And for today, sure. I had to wake up for the first time to do something for law. I haven't done it in 6 months. And it like bummed me out last night. Maybe that's why I was in my head that I'm like, but yeah, same thing with relationships. There's certain things I'm like, okay, I don't want this in any relationship. And as soon as I see that flag raised with somebody I'm mm-hmm. talking to or dating, I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work.
Right. And kind of nip it in the bud right away.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that as you get older, you start realizing what you don't want in your life and what makes you happy or brings you to Zen.
Yes.
And I think that that's how you grow. I think that's probably the most important thing is knowing what you, if you don't know what you want, for me, I know it was really a hard, and who knows, maybe in 5 years, I'm going to find something else that I really love. Cause yeah. I tend to do that every 10 years, but, switching jobs. But, I think you do that from what you didn't like about whatever experience you had before. And you're like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, life experience, and that's the thing. It just gets us to kind of, I think, where we need to be or where we want to go, and we realize the things that we don't like and that
yeah.
we can't tolerate or endure anymore, and it's like
100%
need to change.
I think we should be life coaches. I just think I just came up with that. That's my next thing. Because I'm already talking.
I think you should. You are.
Or TED Talk. If you're listening, Ted, we can do a dual thing, and we can talk about this, but I probably should wait till retrograde's over.
Probably. Don't start anything new yet.
I'm starting to buy into this thing. Like, I was going to tweet about it as a joke today, but then I'm like, now I'm scared if I do, if it's going to like get me like the Russians.
People are going to be like, oh gosh, Paul, what are you talking about?
I'm scared.
Mercury retrograde is a very real thing. And people can think that that sounds crazy. I don't like the word crazy, but it, you know what? Things go on and happen.
I'm going to tweet about it, but it's going to be something I can, probably can't say on this show.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. Save it for your tweet. So tell us about what are some of the shows that are coming up? Where can people find you for your shows
and everything,
podcasts?
Everything's on my website, which is Paul F. Comedy. Paul F. and Frank Comedy. I have a new YouTube page where I'm forcing myself to put up a new clip every Wednesday, which has
That's
been
awesome.
Stressful, but it's really fun. I found one this week I really like. It's at YouTube.com/Paul F. Comedy. My Instagram is at Paul Farvar. I put all of my shows there. I will be traveling. I'm usually in Chicago. I'm at the Laugh Factory or Zany's in Rosemont when I'm in town, or Comedy Bar in Chicago, and then traveling to Seattle, Los Angeles, Sarasota, Florida in the next few months. I don't know
when
this airs. Yeah, I was gone for 2 months, but I'm back here, and then I guess I go back next week. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I mean that's great. Fun. But you have your regular shows.
I have
Drink Day Laugh, right?
Drink Day Laugh. Most Fridays at the world famous Laugh Factory in Chicago. And then I have Everyone's a Lawyer, which is three comedians acting as lawyers as a show where I'm really proud of. It's the last Sunday of every month, usually at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really feel bad to say that I have not been to one of your shows.
No, that's fine. You can see them on YouTube. Follow us on YouTube.
I am. The shows, of course I am.
The YouTube has some of those Everyone's a Lawyer episodes, mm-hmm. which are really fun. I'm really proud of that show. So,
but I think it's different, like being there.
Yeah,
in 100%. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I just have to, put it in my schedule and
bring your new love.
Yeah.
Your new date.
When he's
in town.
I'll put
you guys on the guest list. Yeah.
No, that would be awesome. And I mean, what's better than, like I said, laughter, I think, is the best medicine.
100%. It's amazing. Agree with that. I couldn't agree more. And especially for dating, it's fun. Especially, it's fun to watch people date at shows because you're like, oh, you can tell right away if it's a first or second date because they're like laughing at different things. You're like, this isn't going to work. You guys need to break up right now.
That's awesome. And do you like point that out? I mean, I could see clip I think you showed on YouTube was the guys. He got up right when I got on stage.
Yeah. I was like, what? That, if that happens, I usually don't, I'm not mean to people, but if like they get up when I just got on, it's like, you didn't even give me a chance to like walk away. So I covered, I remember that show. It was like a year ago. I just found it and I was like, I'm going to put that up. And he looked, yeah, it's funny. If you, it's on my page right now. It's one of my favorite ones. But yeah, if I see a couple on a date, you can usually address it pretty quickly. I saw a friend of mine was on a date on a comedy show, and the girl was laughing at all these weird things. And he's a comedian. I'm like, oh, you guys will never work. And he's like, yeah, I know. Comedians are picky about stuff too. So.
Absolutely. What is one of your, before we kind of exit the podcast, what's one of your like favorite moments that's happened while you've been on stage performing?
Oh man,
good or bad, just
favorite moments on stage
pops in your mind.
I got to perform on stage at a bunch of theaters recently. We're sold out shows with thousands of people at on tour with Dimitri Martin, who's one of my favorite comedians growing up. I've been opening for him. That was pretty cool. I don't have like a one show. The one I described at Laugh Factory was a Saturday, like about 3 years ago at Laugh Factory. That's still one of my favorite shows. But yeah, I think the last Everyone's a Lawyer was really memorable. It was a Memorial Day weekend, and we put a summary of that on the show. But it was just so fun having, because the show is the comedians, really. I just stay in the background. And I remember just being on stage being like, oh, I'm on stage too, but I'm watching them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to still run a show because I was having so much fun.
But you're so engaged watching them. And like, yeah,
well, I was like
awesome.
The host. I'm just watching, but I'm like, oh my God, I still have to like be funny too. So those are some of the most memorable things I can think of. And of course, there's the podcasts. There's so many fun ones that I've had that I think are fun.
How many episodes have you had now?
We're at 157 that have been released.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's 200 I Get Married. And then it's going to be called Married for Life. It's going to be
coming up soon.
Yeah. I didn't think I'd have 200 episodes. Or,
I mean,
think
that's
I'd
amazing.
Have 100 episodes. But yeah, it's fun. It's really cool. I love it.
I mean, you're going to be episode number 47 for me, which
nice.
Is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
When does your podcast come out?
We release them on Mondays. If you subscribe, you get it on Sunday. Otherwise, it's released to the public on Mondays, I think. On YouTube, Stitcher, everywhere. Singles only podcast.
Awesome.
The new podcast coming out too soon.
Really?
Which is, can't disclose it yet, but it's pretty amazing.
It's a secret?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's about music.
Okay. Like how soon? Because this will probably be like out in like 3-4 weeks minimum. Later on.
Yeah, probably won't be out until August.
Okay.
Well,
everyone will have to look for that.
Yeah. It'll be on my podcast. It'll be on my website.
On your website. Everything's there. Well, I really appreciate you coming.
Thanks for having me, Jen. That was fun.
This is so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm like, we needed to have another podcast. It's been so long since I've been on yours.
Yeah, and now you can't be back.
Seeing each other. I know. Oh, gosh, I ruined it.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if it lasts.
Maybe.
Take them to a comedy show and see if you guys laugh the same things.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's the best way.
It's the best
Another
test.
Comedian told me that. And he's like, yeah, if you don't laugh the same things, it's
then
not going to work.
Done.
Yeah, think
not
about
work.
It.
That
it's
makes
like
sense.
Politics.
For sure.
Although my parents are opposite on the political spectrum and they've been together for 40 years.
Well, there's always unique situations. But I'll have to do that. I'll bring them to one of your shows.
Fair enough.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so
thank
much.
You.
And everybody, any topics you want to hear or guests you'd like me to have on, send me a message on my Facebook page at Jen Z or on Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast. I'll see you guys next time. Bye.